Hey everyone, I am back with Brooklyn to tell you more about
Make Crate.
We are loving it. We are on the road this summer to finish filming for the documentary, and one of the very few things we brought with us was our
Make Crate.
Brooklyn, tell people who don't know what Make Crate is.
Make Crate is a fun, hands-on electronics kit paired with an online platform to teach your kids coding fundamentals and engineering skills.
That's right, and there are so many fun things you can do with it. You can make
electronic games, instruments, clocks, a burglar alarm, and lots more.
And lots more fun stuff. And there's no technical expertise required. Where can people find out more about Make Crate?
Go to makecrate.club/SR to order your Make Crate today. And make sure to thank them for this week's transcripts.
Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am thrilled that you have joined me again today. I have a return guest on. Her name is Jamie Erickson, and she was in the first part of season one, and we had such a great response from her episode that she did, and she was so encouraging. It's one of the most listened to episodes that we've ever done, and so I'm excited to have her back talking about her new book that she just released and a new podcast that she is doing with a couple of other mamas. She can be found encouraging and equipping a growing tribe of mothers all across the globe on the Mom to Mom podcast and through her blog, The Unlikely Homeschool. She speaks at national conferences, and in addition to writing and speaking, she loves talking faith and family over a cup of coffee and hanging out with her family. So Jamie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Yes, I am so glad to have you back. So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about your new podcast that you recently launched and about your new book that you recently launched. But let's talk about the podcast first really quickly, because I really want to spend most of the time talking about your new book. So tell us about your podcast.
Okay, it's called the Mom to Mom Podcast, and I co-host it with Kate Battistelli and then September McCarthy, and she is a mother of 10 and a homeschooling mom. We've all homeschooled at various places on the journey. And what I love about our podcast, and kind of why I initially wanted to take on a project, is that we're three moms, three different stages and seasons of motherhood, and we've really seen the gamut of motherhood because, you know, Kate and September have grandchildren, and we're all in different places, and we don't always agree on everything, but we have the common thread of Jesus weaving all of our words together, and so we have the same goal, to see our children come to know the Lord and love Him. And so it's a really gospel-centered podcast that hopefully encourages moms, you know, in every place. It's really a podcast, at least I hope, for every mom, for every season.
Yeah. So it's not just about homeschooling, though you guys talk a little bit about homeschooling on there.
A little bit, but it's really just for any mom. We don't necessarily focus on homeschooling. Obviously, we all homeschooled or homeschool currently, but we recognize that not every mom is called to that, and not every listener will be a homeschool mom. So it's really hopefully for every mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's excellent. I've listened to it a few times, and it is definitely become one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. So
thank
you for doing that. I love listening to podcasts. Oftentimes people will say, when do you find time to do it? And I'm like, I don't have any more time than you have. Trust me. But that's usually my, you know, when I'm in the shower and getting ready in the morning, putting on makeup or whatever, I can get in at a few minutes, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. Sometimes it's in spurts, but
Well, and I love to read, but I don't always have the time to sit down and read. So podcast is a really easy go-to to listen to while I'm doing the dishes, doing laundry. And
I've just really for myself jumped on the audiobook bandwagon. We've done it with our girls for a really long time, but I've never really done audiobooks myself. And I found myself not reading as much because, like you said, I just don't have time. By the time I fall into bed at night, I'm so tired, and I will pick up a book and try to read it. And then I'm closing my eyes, and, you know, before I know it, I'm asleep and I've read, you know, maybe a page. But I can do audiobooks, and I love that. Those keep me a little bit more alert. And so I am enjoying audiobooks a little bit more, and I can play them on a little bit faster speed. So
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I think it's always good for moms to pour into themselves, because you can't pour out from an empty cup. So if you're in taking some great information or even just reading to expand your own horizons, anything that you do that sort of maybe only looks like is adding to you really adds to your whole family, because you come ready to teach and to share, and you have a wealth of knowledge to bring to the table.
Yes, yes. And I feel like there's such a good balance between that that we have to find as moms, because we don't want it to be all about me, 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 and how can I serve myself and how can I make myself happy?
Absolutely.
You know, we're serving our families, but at the same time, like you said, if our cup is empty, I mean, we then have very little to give. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves as well, not in a selfish or idolatrous ways, but so that we have more to give to our families, that we're resting and mm-hmm. exercising and doing the things that we need to do so that we can care well for our families. So
absolutely.
Yes. Well, okay. So that's the podcast, the Mom to Mom podcast, and that can be found on iTunes, Spotify.
iTunes, Spotify. You could go to momtomompodcast.com okay. and go directly to it there, or we're also on Instagram.
Okay, great. We'll put links to that. Let's talk about your new book though. I am super excited about this book, and I actually love the title of the book. That was the first thing that really captured me. It's called Homeschool Bravely: How to Squash Doubt, Trust God, and Teach Your Child with Confidence. But I love the homeschool bravely part of it, because so many moms, you know, we've spent the last 2.5 years filming for Schoolhouse Rocked. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing that we hear from every single mom, it does not matter who the mom is, everything that we hear is mom doesn't feel like she is adequate enough to home educate her children. Mm-hmm. There has only been one mom in all of our interviews who said, yep, I totally felt like I was capable of doing this. Mm-hmm. And she has her doctorate in education, and she did her dissertation on homeschooling. And so I would say, yes, she has every right to say that she felt like she was totally equipped to teach her kids. But for the most part, most of us do not feel like we are capable of doing that. And the reality is we're really not. That's why we need the Lord to help us through this.
That's right.
But we also need to just take that step of bravery and just say, you know what, this is what we feel is best for our kids. And so we're just going to take this leap of faith and we're going to do it. Talk a little bit about why you decided to write. Well, first, talk about why you chose to homeschool yourself, and then talk about what led to writing the book.
Well, I was a teacher for several years, even before having kids. And my husband, like you had mentioned, was homeschooled. And homeschooling was never in my radar. In fact, my mother-in-law had asked me a couple of years before I even had kids if I'd ever consider homeschooling. And I said, absolutely not. And it wasn't anything against homeschooling. I just thought I had the perfect gig as a mom, that my kids could come to school with me. We'd have mm-hmm. the same vacation time. I'd be able to spend, you know, quality time at school with them. So on paper, everything looked like, you know, I would continue teaching and everything would be great. But God's plans are so much different than our plans. And he began to just slowly, you know, sprinkle that idea in my thoughts that homeschooling might be a good path for us. Mm-hmm. And part of that, I would say that the real catalyst for that was that it was kind of twofold. One, when I had my first daughter, I just honestly couldn't envision myself handing her off mm-hmm. to somebody for 6 to 8 hours a day. Not that I didn't trust anybody else. It's just that I loved her so much and mm-hmm. I didn't want to miss out on those yeah. moments with her. Even when she was really little and she wasn't even, you know, school was just a few years, you know, down the road and we weren't even close to sending her off yet. I still had those painful thoughts of what am I going to do when she has to go to school? So that was part of it. And I also think that, if I'm being really honest, part of my reason to want to homeschool was that as a teacher, I had seen sort of the underbelly mm-hmm. of what it was like for kids in school. And I think teaching sort of ruined me for anything but homeschooling.
So then was it hard for you, since you'd been in the classroom? In the classroom, whether it's public school or private school, you have to kind of fit kids into a box. Mm-hmm. You're forced to. There's no other way to do it when you've got a classroom full of, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30 mm-hmm. kids or more. Was that hard for you when you started homeschooling to break out of that?
Yeah, I often hear from moms. In fact, I just wrote an article about this, about how helpful or actually unhelpful my teaching degree was yeah. when it came to homeschooling. Because I think moms without that teaching degree, moms without that doctorate and dissertation feel lesser than and feel mm-hmm. like they are ill-equipped.
Right.
But actually, because I do have a teaching degree, I can say that I came to homeschooling with sort of a burden on my back. I had all of these preconceived notions about what schooling was supposed to be mm-hmm. because I had been trained to teach the masses. And that right. looks so much differently and has to. I mean, even the best of teachers, they have to maintain order and they have to teach sort of with this idea of herd mentality. And when you bring that, you take that square peg and try to fit it in this round yeah. hole of homeschooling, it just doesn't fit. And it really was a burden more than it was a blessing in mm-hmm. the first few years of homeschooling. And then, you know, I found my groove and realized I could cast off the chains of, you know, the old guard down the street and do it my way. But right away, I think my degree wasn't helpful.
Yeah. But loving your children a whole lot was.
Absolutely.
So was there...
And knowing them well.
Yeah, right. Yes, yeah, so much. So you said, you know, you obviously you loved her. You wanted to spend time with her. You wanted to be with her. Do you remember that kind of aha moment of like, oh, yeah, I actually do want to homeschool. I said I never would, but I think this is really a good idea. Do you remember that moment or was it more of a process of time?
I think it was a process for me mm-hmm. That God slowly started to show me I've been teaching her all along,
yeah.
you know, and that doesn't have to necessarily stop just because she meets this magical age mm-hmm. that the school district determines mm-hmm. she has to then be taught by someone else. You know, right. who was it that taught her to walk, that taught right. her to talk? All, you know, if you look at statistically child growth and development, 90% of what a person learns, they learn by the time they're five. So mm-hmm. in those first five formative years, I had already taught her 90% of what yeah. she needed to know. Why did I need to pass it off to somebody else?
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
But it was a process for me, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it was for me too, a little bit. You know, we'd said we'd never homeschool. And then I think it was kind of like you at that moment when I held this baby in my arms. I'd waited 11 years to be a mom. And I was like, I really like her. Like, I really genuinely
right.
like her. And I love spending time with her. I love being with her. I love watching her grow. I love getting to experience all her first things, you know, her first steps and her first word and, you know, just the things that you would miss. And the same with school. I love getting to watch her just figure out, you know, what her life is meant to be and how God designed her. And so it's really exciting to be that mom who gets to come alongside of our kids and experience. I think it's Israel Wayne. He talks about that kids are in school. If they go to school from kindergarten through 12th grade, it's like 10,800 hours, somewhere around there. 10,800 hours
that you miss out.
Think about that. That is a long time to miss out on your child's life. And then of course they grow up and move out of your house and, you know,
what you get on the back end of that when they do come home at the end of that long day is really the leftovers.
Yeah.
You get the extras that are left over. They're just tired and they don't really have the sieve. I didn't want the leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm sitting here recording with you and this is really funny. I emailed you last night and I said, I haven't gotten my copy of the book yet. And so you sent me a little bit more information on it because I'd been waiting for it to come. And my husband literally just walked in as we were recording and he handed me my new copy of your new book.
Here it is.
So here it is, you guys. This is so exciting. So I've literally not even opened it. He just walked in.
Does it have the new book smell?
It does. I love the smell of books. I love the smell of libraries.
Yes. Yeah.
They smell so good. They have a certain smell. And it doesn't matter what library you go to. Anywhere in the country, they all smell the same. California to Georgia.
You could bottle that smell and wear it as
right?
a scent.
Yes. Maybe we can make candles and market those to homeschool moms,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's an idea.
So, Homeschool Bravely, this is your new book. Walk us through it a little bit. Tell us about some of the chapters that you've got in it. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. But walk us through the book a little bit.
Okay, well, it's divided into three different parts. The first part really touches on the fears that homeschooling moms struggle with, because I think there's some really prevalent universal fears You know, as moms, we naturally kind of have this lifelong relationship with self-doubt, mm-hmm. all moms, I think. But then you go ahead and you add on the weight of your child's education, and that's a whole different ballgame. Yeah. That's a whole mess bag of additional fears that you carry, because now the burden of proof is on you for those 12 years of schooling. So the first part talks about fears, and the second part is really referencing some of the struggles that we have as homeschool moms. I think there's some key ones, you know, when you're trying to homeschool, when you have lots of little ones underfoot, mm-hmm. and yeah. trying to live in the tension of being mom, but also being teacher. Mm-hmm. There's the struggle of teaching a struggling learner or somebody who just regular academics, you know, doesn't come easy or click with. Then there's the struggle of teaching sort of that child, one of those wild ones that doesn't want to, you know, color within the lines and yeah. who always has the crossed arms. What do you do on the days where all you see is just, you know, chins raised in the air and, you know, defiance and I don't want to do this. And right. so hopefully I speak to that in that particular section. And then just the struggle of the crazy chaotic days of just combining home and school. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you don't have a struggling learner or you don't have toddlers, anytime you try to mesh together a bunch of imperfect people in the world, you're going to have struggles yep. because Jesus told you you would, you know, in this world, you will have struggles. So that's the second part of the book. And then the last part is the solutions. Where do we go when we need bravery and it's just not coming? What is the source? The hope that we have, where do we look to squash all those fears?
Yeah. I love the solutions. We always need those. I mean, we can work through all of the problems and talk about them and be frustrated about them and even pray about them. But it's so great to have actual solutions and in reality, God's going to give us what we need. I love that in this book, you offer actual practical ways to deal with those things.
Yeah. Hopefully there's lots of takeaways, and it's not a homeschooling how-to book, because I mm-hmm. think there's plenty of those on the market. Some really yeah. Great women have already written them and have done a much better job than I could, but there's plenty of practical tips and takeaways, I hope, within the pages.
Yeah. So why this book? What made you want to write this book? Because there are, as you mentioned, there's mm-hmm. a lot of different homeschool books out there. Many really excellent ones. And I'm sure this is definitely in line with all of those. So with all of those out there, what made you want to write this?
I think this is a little bit of a different book in that it's not a homeschool how-to book. Mm-hmm. So a mom who's been homeschooling for 20 years could hopefully pick up this book and really glean some truth from it, as well as the mom who's just starting out, because it really speaks to the pain points that we have and the fear that we have. It's a book of encouragement that really sets your gaze back on your very source of bravery, and that's God. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I wrote this book is because there are lots of homeschooling how-to books out there to sort of give you marching orders, mm-hmm. you know, and your 12-step programs and your checklists, and those are very helpful. But at the end of the day, you can't tack a pretty system onto soul work.
Yeah.
And so I hope that my book really helps a mom sort of quiet the voices of not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Let's take a really quick break to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be back in a few minutes, and I want to talk about a few more things with you.
Absolutely.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Jamie, talking about her new book, Homeschool Bravely. What a great book this is. We were just talking about the cover of it and how much fun the cover is. It's colorful and it's engaging and it's bright, and I love things like that. Talk about, in the book, I know one of the things that you mentioned is about how 1/3 of all new homeschool moms quit after the first year. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this is?
That's a staggering number, isn't it? That's 33% of mothers who start end up quitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think there's a couple of different reasons. I don't think you can peg it on any one thing, but I think some of the biggest contributing factors are, one, homeschooling can be a very lonely road.
Mm-hmm.
And very isolating. If you do not surround yourself with a community of other moms sort of circling the wagons, mm-hmm. and showing you the way. But I realize that there are a lot of moms who are in very isolating communities. And what do you do with that? Yeah. You can't just go dig up friends that aren't there. So I think isolation is one of the factors.
So really quickly on that point, do you talk about in the solutions part how to go about finding community?
Absolutely. There's a whole chapter about it.
Okay.
And also how to sort of speak to the naysayers, mm-hmm. because I think that's another reason that a lot of homeschool moms, maybe not the reason they give up, but definitely something that adds to mm-hmm. Their fears and leads them to giving up, is the naysayers. We talk about how to answer the naysayers, because anytime you choose a different path, homeschooling or otherwise, there are always going to be people, other folks shouting mm-hmm. from the curb, telling you you're doing it wrong while
sure.
you're actually down in the trenches doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to be able to have some real practical, tangible things, hold them in your hand to know when those naysayers come, how am I going to respond? And actually, as a Christian, what is the biblical response when people question your decision to homeschool? So I think those are a couple of the reasons. I also think that the fear of the unknown,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't always see the immediate fruit. You know, this is a life work, just like motherhood is.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see the fruit of it tomorrow. In fact, sorry to say, you might not see the fruit of it for years and years mm-hmm. and years to come. And we're such a quick fix society that if we don't see the fruit tomorrow
mm-hmm.
or by the end of that first school year, we want to give up because we think we failed. We think we did something wrong. Our life doesn't look like the curriculum catalog cover, you know, with the smiling children and the mom who, you know, doesn't have any gray hairs. So I think we sit in the way of this failure,
mm-hmm.
failure-centric thought or mentality. And if there's nobody to come alongside us and to cheer us on and to help us carry that banner, then it's easy to give up.
Yeah, it is. I can say that there have been many times, not where I've wanted to give up on homeschooling, but where that fear sets in. And like you said, because we oftentimes can't see the results right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my oldest is in 7th grade this year. And I'm like, oh, and she's getting ready to go into high school. And I hope we're doing okay. I hope we're filling in all the blanks. And it is a little bit terrifying. We were in Nashville recently at the Teach Them Diligently convention. And I was talking to Ray Perry. She is a former homeschool mom. She's a grandma now, but she has a home business company, and she's fantastic. And she just sat down with me and she said, "How's homeschooling going?" And I didn't break down, but I just was like, "Oh, Ray, I don't even know how to answer that." I said, I just feel like we're not always doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I understand we've been recording or filming for this movie for 2.5 years, and I have had multiple moms sit in front of me and say, "Just take it easy. Take a breath. Let God have control of this. Mm-hmm. Allow him to fill in all of the gaps and your kids are going to be fine. You know, you do what God's called you to do and your kids are going to turn out fine." And I still have that anxiety of like, oh, I hope I'm not messing it up. I hope I'm doing all right. Mm-hmm. And she just sat me down and she said, "You're doing a great job." She said, mm-hmm. "God has you guys exactly where he wants you to be. He is going to fill in all the gaps. It's going to be great. Your kids are going to be so much better off for having been homeschooled." And And it was just great. I needed an older mom to come alongside of me and just remind me once again, because I feel like I need to be reminded of that over and over and over and over again.
Well, and I think that's the enemy's biggest trick when it comes to homeschooling moms is to, one, make us think that we even can do it in and of our own strength. You know, like God will only give us what we can handle, but that's just not true. Of course, he's going to give us some things that we can't handle. Yeah. Otherwise, if we could handle it, what would be the need
of Jesus? That's right.
So he wants us to first think we can, you know, get it all done. If we just pull up our big girl pants, we can do it. Yeah. And then when we don't, when at the first little tripping or stumbling, we feel like a failure, we're face down in the muck and we want to throw in the towel.
Yep. That's right.
All a part of his scheme.
It really is. It really is. So, and going back to community, that's so much part of why we need community, because we need other moms to come alongside of us and we need to encourage one another, because there might be a day where I'm feeling really low and discouraged and frustrated, and I have a friend who's like, nope, you've got this. And then another day she may be feeling that way, and I can come alongside of her and say, nope, you've got this. Let's keep doing this. Let's link arms and let's do this together. So community is so important. We have a few more minutes left, so I want to talk about a few more things. Let's talk about the feeling of being overwhelmed. I know I find myself here oftentimes. I'm sure you do. I'm sure pretty much every mom does, where we feel like we're trying to just juggle life, all of these things, being a wife, being a mom, being a teacher, being, you know, a taxi driver, being whatever it is that we're doing with our families. Maybe oftentimes we're involved with ministry, or we're helping to lead a co-op, or there's just so many things. How do you encourage that mom who is just dealing with feeling overwhelmed?
Well, I guess I would say that, remember, anything worth doing is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. You know, think about marriage, parenting, any of the eternal things that have eternal value, they're going to be difficult. And it's going to require, you know, digging in and doing the hard work. Don't be afraid by that. And don't be surprised by that. I think it's very easy for a homeschool mom to be overwhelmed. And I also think that no one else around you, but other homeschool moms, are going to truly understand right where you're sitting and will truly understand the overwhelm. You know, it's easy to look at a homeschool mom who's at home all day and just think, well, she must sit around in her jammies eating bonbons. Yeah. And, you know, if I need a babysitter, I'll call that homeschool mom, because what else is she doing all day? Right. You know, they don't understand. So I think it's really important, like you said, with the community, have other women who recognize and see you and see your struggles. And then I think too, I find it very helpful, and this is a boots on the ground practical tip that seems to work, at least for me. I find it very helpful to really set, you know, think of, I don't want you to think of homeschooling as a job, but in some ways you kind of have to. You have to be able to say, this fits in this time frame of my day, and I'm not going to let it, you know, commandeer and strong arm the whole day.
Right.
So we start homeschool around 9:30 in theory on good days. And then at 3 o'clock, you know, I'm teaching five, so they're not always doing school from 9:30 to three, but I am, because I'm one person and there's five of them.
Right.
But at 3 o'clock, I have a hard and fast rule that I'm done because then I need to go on and do other things. You know, I work from home, so I've got to juggle that. Like you said, there's ministry things that need to be done. And plus I'm also a wife.
Right.
And I want to love my husband well, and I want to love my children as a mother. So I think sometimes you just have to give homeschooling the right weight and the importance in the day. And I think too often, especially at first, homeschool moms, because of just the weight of a child's education, we give homeschooling way more control of our lives and make it harder than it's supposed to be. And make it bigger than it's supposed to be. Yes, academics, education, absolutely important. But it, your life is worth more than, you know, a textbook or the next test or that next worksheet. So I think it's really important to have the put homeschooling in the proper perspective.
Yeah. Yes. I love that. Unfortunately, we are out of time for the podcast, but I would love to stay on with you and continue talking, because I want to talk about a few more things. I want to talk about moms who don't feel called to homeschool, because some feel like they need to homeschool because maybe their child's being bullied, or maybe they, you know, don't feel comfortable with the public school, but they can't afford the private school, and they just feel like it's their only option. But they don't necessarily feel like God is prompting them to homeschool. So I want to talk to those moms. I want to talk about community. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to give some practical advice that you give in your book. But I want to, for those who have ordered the book and maybe it hasn't they haven't received it yet, talk about how they can go about finding community. Because for those introverts, it might not be as easy. And then I want to talk about the naysayers. We talked about that as well a little bit, but I want to give some practical advice on how people can respond to those naysayers in their lives. So, we are going to close out the podcast right now, but for the Backstage Pass members, we're going to stay on and they can listen to the rest of our conversation. For those of you who are not yet familiar with the Backstage Pass membership, Schoolhouse Rocked is a film that we are in production on right now, looking to release in summer of 2020. But we have a Backstage Pass membership site, and with the membership site, we have a ton of resources on there, mostly videos. So a lot of them are the full-length videos, video interviews of people that we've had in the movie, like Heidi St. John. Oh my goodness, there's so many. I should have the list in front of me right now. Israel Wayne, Sam Sorbo. There's a bunch of people that we've got. So we'll have their full interviews on there. Many of them are already on there. And then for our podcast, oftentimes like this, I just have more that I want to talk about. So we will continue the discussion and people can view that discussion on video on the Backstage Pass membership site. So if you're not familiar, go to schoolhouserocked.com, click on Backstage Pass, and you can find out more about that. And it's a great way to support what we're doing with the podcast and with the film and all that we have going on with Schoolhouse Rocked. So we would love it if you would check that out. Jamie, tell us where people can find you.
Well, you can find me at theunlikelyhomeschool.com and Facebook and Instagram, and then over at momtomompodcast.com.
Okay, great. We will link those in the show notes. And then again, the name of your book is Homeschool Bravely: How to Squash Doubt, Trust God, and Teach Your Child with Confidence. And that is already out on Amazon, probably through your website, right? You can pretty much find it anywhere.
Yep. Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com, all of the places. And actually, if you want to know more about the book, you can go to homeschoolbravely.com.
Great. Great. Thank you so much, Jamie, for joining me today. We will continue this discussion for Backstage Pass members. And for those listening, thank you for listening today. It is such a joy to be with you, and go love your babies and enjoy your day. We'll talk to you guys later.